Hello, this is the nursery, toddler, and two-year-old training. We are excited to have you serve with the youngest children at Reality Ventura. These little humans are brand new, curious, and growing fast, and you get to be a part of starting off their discipleship by showing them the love of God, which is really special. This means that there will be lots of play and cuddles and snacks and bubbles and laughters and so much more. We not only want you to feel safe in your classroom and for the kids to feel safe in the room, but we also want it to actually be safe. So in this training, we are going to cover what your time with the little ones will look like, whether it be on a Sunday or at a special event that provides childcare for infants through two-year-olds. And this training will include what to do during arrival, what check-ins will be like, how to care for the kids during the service, what checkouts will look like, and then how to reset your classroom for the next people in the room. So along with this training is a document you can reference as long as you, you can reference as you follow along. So push pause and click on the button entitled View Document next to this training. So the first thing we're going to cover is your arrival to class. It's very simple. So upon arrival, you should wear your volunteer shirt and lanyard, which are found upstairs in the kids ministry supply room. You'll get to keep your t-shirt, but then at the end of the day, the lanyard goes back into that supply room. So that's where it'll always be found. The second thing you want to do upon arrival is wash your hands. We carry lots of germs, even if we don't realize it, as we touch different surfaces, and we're going to be holding these babies really close. So we want to make sure our hands are clean. And then finally, be ready and present to receive the children. As you're waiting for kids, that's a really good time to get to know your other leaders and ask them some questions. That way, when you guys serve together, it's not a weird, awkward silent zone. It's actually like an interactive, fun environment. So those are the first three things. That's it. Easy peasy. There should be a minimal setup when you arrive, since the classroom should always be reset and cleaned up by the previous occupants. But if there are some things that you want to pull out or whatever, feel free to do so. The second thing that we are going to learn is checking kids in. This is very, very important, as is checking kids out. This is the gate for kids coming in and out of class, making sure they come out when they're supposed to and come in properly so that we can release them later when they get picked up. So you'll notice that there is a sample of a sign-in sheet in your PDF that you clicked on. So when kids are checking in, they should already have received their two name tags with a unique alphanumeric code that they first received at the kids' check-in counter. One label is for the child to wear, preferably on their back, so that they can't reach it and you can always see it. And a second label is to label their diaper bag, so that they don't get mixed up with the other diaper bags. There's also a security label that has the same code on it for the parents to hold on to and to show at checkout to verify that they are the correct person checking them out. So when the kids arrive, make sure they have all their codes in the correct location, meaning like the kids aren't wearing the security label that the parents are supposed to have, or the parents don't have the name tag label that the kids are supposed to have, that the bag is properly labeled. That way, everything is in its correct space. In your class at the counter, you will see a sign-in sheet, which you will see a sample in your document. The parents will write their child's name, that security code that they have on their security label, and that's also on the child's name tag, and if they can have Cheerios or not, and any other special instructions for us to take note of while their child is in our care. So if you're working with little ones, like of course, some are going to be able to have Cheerios, some will not be able to have Cheerios. A parent might give a special instruction of like, could you please feed them the applesauce pouch inside of their bag, or they might be getting sleepy, but please keep them awake, or any of that. It also may be like, if my child is crying for 5 minutes or a certain amount of time, please call me. It's different situations like that. It's kind of whatever they want to put there on that special note. Um, Okay, so the next thing to do is please make sure parents put only one child per line on the name tag, since that will make it easier for us to count kids in the future. So like if there are twins that come in, it's easy for the mom to write both names on one line or the dad to write both names, but have them put the name separate. That way we can have very clear instructions for both kids, and in case of an emergency, we can really easily count the kids. Okay, as families arrive, you might need to set the parents at ease. It can be hard for them to drop off their child in the nursery or toddler room, especially if they are new or if it is their first time, or also if the child is upset and scared to be separated from their parents at that time. It can be, you have to kind of set some people at ease. So how do we do this? How do we manage this? So the first thing is, we want to lovingly welcome their child. Look at their child in the eye and say hello directly to their child, as well as to the parents. But having communication with the child and building that connection right away is really helpful. The second thing is let their parents know you're excited to spend time with their child, and you will text them if the child cries for more than 10 minutes. This will set parents' minds at ease. Frequently, I'm like, don't worry, we've got this. If they're crying for more than 10 minutes, we will call you, I promise. That's how I normally communicate with parents, and that really sets them at ease. So I would encourage you to do that. And then finally, conclude by telling the parents, we hope you enjoy the service. This helps them to start to mentally transition from their attention being on their baby in the nursery or in the two-year-old room to the service that they will be that they will get to attend. Frequently, I will be like, go to church. We've got this. We love your child. They're safe. We will call you if they're crying for 10 minutes. Otherwise, just go and rest and be. And that really is like, it's like giving the parents permission to drop their child off. And very frequently, it's like a huge sigh of relief for the parents. And so I would like to encourage you to do that. When the parents pass off their child in diaper bag, please put the diaper bags in the cubbies above the counter with the name facing out, making it easy to identify which bag belongs to which child. This is really important for not making any mistakes of giving the wrong food or diapers to the wrong child. In addition to this, I personally just really like the counters to be clear when I walk into a room that looks messy. It doesn't feel safe. As safe, even subconsciously, I feel that way. And I think that there are some parents that feel the same way, that if it looks out of control, they're not fully comfortable dropping their child off. And having a messy counter, it's sort of like, if you make your bed, your room just automatically feels cleaner. It's sort of like if the counters are clean, the room automatically feels safer. So if at all possible, keep all of the diaper bags up in the cubbies. Then through the service, you and your team will care for the kids throughout the service, which leads us to our third point, how to care for the kids. There are many things we get to do with these little ones while they are in our care, including playing, soothing, and feeding their children, and also changing diapers. We will talk about all of these things. The first is playing. Our classrooms come stocked with plenty of toys for the kids. The baby's room has round table trays they can stand at, bounce, They have round table trays that they can stand at. They have bouncers that they can sit in, and they have automatic swings. In addition, there are plenty more toys to choose from in the cabinets. Just so you know, all of our cabinets are childproofed with magnetic childproofing locks. You can unlock the cabinets with the magnets found on the side of the upper cabinets in the nursery and the toddler two-year-old room. And you just set some of the cabinets have like a little white sticker on it. You just put the magnet over that sticker, and that's where the lock is at. It'll unlock. In the toddler and two-year-old room, there is a Montessori wooden climbing set, plenty of toys and baskets, a bubble machine, books in the cabinet, and a small table for coloring, puzzles, and whatever else you want to do with the kids at the tables. So there is plenty of stuff for the kids to play in. We don't have a crazy amount of toys because we have plenty of toys. in the classrooms. So the next is soothing. Of course, not all babies are going to be keen on being dropped off in their classroom and might require some snuggles, sometimes more snuggles than some of the other kids. In your room, there are big yoga balls and two reclining rocking chairs to hold these little ones close, to rock them and bounce to help set their bodies and hearts at ease. So just that rhythmic motion that we naturally do when we're holding babies that are sad. We have the supplies in there that you need. Also in the nursery, there are baby carriers available if the baby just really needs to be held close or you need to hold one baby close while you're playing with another one. We have that as well. In addition to that, it's like crying. If a baby needs to take a nap or if we're doing an evening activity, you are welcome to use all of these tools to help the babies go to sleep as well. So that is all available to you. If a child does cry for more than 10 minutes, one of two things might happen. The first is the coordinator, who is a person assigned to helping support all the teachers during a service, might come in and support you. If they notice there's a lot of crying in the room, they will come over to support you. They might stay in the class or walk with the crying child outside of the classroom to help give the child a change of atmosphere. But for the most part, they will always be within the vicinity. And so if a parent comes, you'd be like, oh, they're being held by the coordinator, nice and close. And that coordinator is there to support in that way. The second thing that could happen is we might page the parent through our check-ins program, asking them to come check on their child. When parents come, we can either, one, ask for tips and tricks to help soothe their child so they can hopefully continue attending the service without their child. Two, they could stay with their child to help them further adjust to coming to class. Now, if a parent comes in, if they are not a fingerprinted approved volunteer, which you won't really know unless they tell you, or you ask them, they are to stay just with their child. They're not to interact with other kids because they are not an approved volunteer. They are there primarily to help their child adjust. And third, that could possibly happen is they might check their child out of class to stay with them in service. All three are totally acceptable, but it's good to communicate that when parents are coming, if we have to page their parent, to be like, hey, they don't need to leave. Like, just do you have any tips and tricks? Or would you like to stay with them for 5 minutes, try to help them a little bit more to adjust? A lot of parents will just take their kids with them to this church, but we do want to give them the option to stay and help them adjust if they would like. The next thing we're going to cover is feeding or food in the classroom with the kids. So babies and toddlers frequently come with their own snacks. So make sure to take note of what the parents communicate on the sign-in sheet. Make sure you're reading that. As well as the check their name tag, because there will be allergy information on their name tag if they're allergic to anything or have any sensitivities. On the sign-in sheet, we're going to ask them, can they have Cheerios? Do they come with a bottle or a special snack? So then when they, in their diaper bag, if you label their diaper bag and they want a certain snack, then you can pull it from their diaper bag and pass the snacks out accordingly to make sure the kids don't share each other's snacks in case of allergies and germs. So, if kids have allergies to anything, we want to make sure that we are not giving them other kids' snacks. So there are high chairs in the class to help with that. Also in both the nursery and toddler 2-year-old room, we provide Cheerios and washable snack cups and have two, like I just mentioned, high chairs. In the nursery, it might be safest to have the babies eat their Cheerios in the high chair, whereas in the toddler room, it's fine if they roam around and play with their eating their snack. If you do use the high chairs, please, 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 please properly clean the chair by spraying and wiping it down with the provided 7th generation spray in your room. Very frequently, I will go into the room and there will be a lot of dirty high chairs. And that's just a really big bummer for whoever comes first, because we're like, when was this last cleaned? Is this even sterile? They have to now clean it while their kid is hungry. And it's just nice if everything is ready to go right away. So that's feeding. The next is changing diapers. Your room contains a padded changing table, paper liners, gloves, little diaper trash bags, diapers in a variety of sizes, wipes, and posted instructions to remind volunteers how to properly and safely change a diaper in kids ministry. Different than what you would do at, this is different than what you would do at home because we need to ensure the cleanliness and safety of our changing table station for the next child. So when you at home would normally just put the child right on the changing table, it's them and their own germs. It's like, okay, but we don't want that child's germs to go with that child because they're going to go home. And yeah, we just want to make sure it all stays clean. So these instructions are really important to follow. And before we dive in, I want to remind from our policies and procedures training, only women are allowed to change diapers and take kids to the restroom. We understand that this is a double standard, but for some reason, it sets parents more at ease to see a female changing their baby's diaper than a male. And honestly, we've never had a guy complain about this. So moving on, how to actually change a diaper in Reality Kids. Again, it's going to be different than how you normally do it. So the first thing is you're going to put the changing table liner on the changing table mattress. These liners are found right under the mattress. If you lift up the mattress, there's all these little sheets of like parchment paper. That is the liner. You're going to take that liner and you're going to set it on top of the mattress. The next is you're going to put on some gloves. So your germs, baby's germs, we want to keep things from cross-contaminating. The third thing is you're going to place the child on the changing table. Never leave a child unattended. Number four, change the child's diapers. Diapers are in the tight changing table below, and whether it be in the drawer or in the cabinet, you can open it up, and they are all labeled by size. So it should be fairly simple to find the child's size in there. Or if they don't, if they already come with their diaper, you can use their own diaper. Once you're done changing the diaper, make sure it's nice and clean. The kids are nice and clean. Fold everything up. And you're going to put everything inside of a odor-blocking bag. So that's the diaper, that's the wipe, that's the liner. All of it is going to go into the odor-blocking bag. Number six is you're going to throw the bag and use liner into the regular trash can right next to the changing table. And at the end of the day, you're going to take out that trash to the dumpster by the youth room. We don't like changing diaper pails, like dirty diaper pails, because they actually don't keep the smell away. And it's those odor blocking bags work really, really well. So that is how we keep the room smelling fresh and we keep the kids safe from other kids' diapers situation. Okay, so now you have received the children, cared for the children, and the service is now ending. And the parents will now come check out their child, which leads us to our child checkout procedure. So during checkout, you need to kindly ask to see each parent's security code, even if you know the child goes with the guardian. So say you're in comm group with somebody and they're coming to pick up their child. Just kindly say, hey, procedure, can I see your guardian receipt? I just need to make sure that it matches up. And it could be something, or if it's like somebody you don't know, simply say something to the effect of, welcome back. We had so much fun in class today. Do you happen to have your security code? Just something really simple and kind and like non-threatening, that they're not the person that's supposed to be picking them up. And then proceed to check them out. Usually parents are really cool and supportive when we do this. However, on the rare occasion when someone is upset because they lost their security label and we won't release them anyways, simply say something to the effect of, oh man, I totally understand your frustration. We just have this policy in place so that we are always ensure the safety of each child. Even when we know the families, we still do it so that we don't lose the habit. If they continue to remain upset or they can't find the security code, stay calm and understanding, like overly kind, and tell them that you will find the coordinator to double verify that they are in fact the correct parent guardian. It's again just part of our policy, part of our procedure, and we don't want to ever come out of the habit. So then contact the coordinator, which you will have their phone number on your sign-in sheet, and then the coordinator will proceed to verify the parent. It seems like overkill, especially when you already know the family, but we really don't want to lose the habit of doing this. We don't want to become lax, and we got to be really careful because sometimes there are things going on at home that we don't know about when they come to class. We're not there to be suspicious and or anything like that. We just want to maintain the protocol and then just remind the parents lovingly, like, hey, yeah, it's just policy, and maintain the protocol. Again, all of this is really rare. Usually parents are super duper understanding, but it's good to have an idea of what to do if the situation arises. And if you ever need a reminder or are struggling with this or feel awkward about it when you're doing it, don't be afraid to ask me or Karina. We would be happy to encourage you and help set your mind at ease and remind you as well. Finally, at the end of service, you need to clean up and reset your classroom. To learn how to do this, we are actually not going to do it here. I'm just going to ask you to please refer to the classroom cleanup and reset training below. And that concludes the nursery, toddler, and two-year-old volunteer training. Thank you for taking the time to intentionally be equipped on how to serve with the youngest children here at Reality Ventura. And we hope that as each child comes into your class, they would experience and feel the love of God through you and the rest of your team. God bless.